He says, Chesura Mechsura Hochitari. There's something that's missing in the text, and this is what we should read into it. We should say, Im Noisin Tam Lufgam Humutar, right? If it spoils the taste, then it is permissible, right? And likewise, we have a story. But bias has been sodden. There was a certain bias has been sodden. Shehoya, maybe Groglos Besvino, right? Who would bring these dried figs on a boat for the shtabel chovish of Yad Nesach, and the barrel of Yad Nesach broke, benofal gabayin, right, and it fell upon them. Uvo masel of the chachomim, and so they brought the matter to the Chachomim, the Hithirum, right? And they permitted it. So far, this is how the minister should be understood. All right. Then they say, Hahu kri dechite de nofal ale chavisa de yayin esech, shaye rover des bude, if they can hold it. Okay. Another case that the Gemara now brings over here is okay, there was a pile, a heap of wheat, okay, and again a barrel of Yain Esach fell upon it, right? And so they brought the matter before Rava, and Rava permitted it to be sold to Goyim.
Who was selling it?
The Jew. He permitted the Jew to sell it to Goyim. So we see from this that in that particular case, even though with Yain Nesach you're not supposed to have any benefit whatever, but he permitted it to be sold, not, you know, to Goyim, but obviously that the wheat could not be used by a Jew. Okay? But at least you don't lose everything. Right. Eisvei Rabba Bar Levi Nerova. So, Rabba Bar Levi asked Rabba the following question. He says, Beged, Sheobad Boy Kilayim, Harezed Loyim Kerena Loyvet Kechavim. He says, you know, how come you're so liberal in your interpretation? For, after all, we have another teaching, right? The teaching says that if you have a garment, right, and there is a thread of kilayim got lost in it. Remember what we said? Kilayim means any mixture of prohibited things, right? I mean, the things themselves are not prohibited, but put them together and it becomes prohibited. You're going to have kilei hakerem. It could be, for example, in the vineyard where you have, let's say, wheat and grapes growing together in the same place or something like that, that's prohibited. And of course I have kilei begodim. In other words, a mixture of linen and wool, which is also prohibited in the garment. Okay? So he says to him, let's say that you have a linen garment and somewhere or other a thread of wool got in. Or maybe vice versa. A thread of linen got into a wool garment, okay? And what did we learn? It says, Hareze loyim kevin loyvet kachavim, right? You're not allowed, first of all, to sell it to an idolater. But lo yasedem adas l'chamor, nor can you make it into a blanket that they would put on top of the donkey in order to protect it when you put the saddle on, okay? So you can't use it for that either. Aval osa tachrichim lemeis mitzvah. But you are permitted to use this kelayim to make tachrichim, you know, shrouds for a meis mitzvah. Who is a meis mitzvah?
When you can't be repaid for your goodness.
Yeah, but the meis mitzvah specifically is someone who has no relatives, whatever, who can perform, you know, the tahara, tachrichim, burial, etc., etc. person dies, he has nobody in the world, okay? Or you find somebody at the field or something like that who died. As we say, we don't know anybody who can do it. Because obviously, if you have family, they're going to take care of it, right? If you have a Chevra Kadisha in town, also it's a mitzvah for them to take care of. But the thing of the Meis Mitzvah is, if you come across such a person, it's a mitzvah to bury that person, you know, in the spot where you find him, okay? So, this garment, he says, which has a thread of kilayim in it, it can be used for a Meis Mitzvah, in order to make tachrichim, in order to make shrouds for this dead person, okay? Why? Well, of course, the answer is very simple. Are the dead required to perform mitzvahs? They can't perform mitzvahs. They passed out, right? So, mitzvahs you perform in this world, try to get the reward in the world to come, you see. But since they are dead, they can't perform mitzvahs, and therefore we say, there's a pasuk in Tehillim about Sim Chafshim, which means that when they pass away, they are free. Free from what? The answer is free from performing mitzvahs. So that being the case, you can take this garment and use it, because he's no longer required to perform the mitzvah, you know, the negative mitzvah in this case, and not the working life. Okay. Okay. My Tama lo, for what reason is the answer no? Dilma Osir is Bunneli Swell. Now, what we're talking about again, what started this, is the pile of wheat that we said that Yaidesa fell on top of it. Okay? Why can't he sell it to a goy? Because we said he can't do it. He's objecting. He says, why can't we say, let him sell it to a goy, right? Because yeah. At first it said that you could sell it.
Yeah.
All right. But he's being questioned right now by, who's it over here? Yeah, Rabba. Right. Rabba permitted it, right? Rabba permitted it, right, but Rabba questioned his decision. Why did he permit it to do it?
He put in.
Listen, they want to make sure that who's right in the interpretation of the law, you know. So he says, why didn't he permit then this pile of, you know, wheat to be sold?
Right.
So he says, because the goy in turn might sell it to a Jew. And don't forget, it has already been contaminated with what? With the Yain Nesach, right? Then Hador afterwards it says, Shora Lamit Hintu. So he gave permission subsequently that they could grind it, they could sift it, they could sell it to an idolater where there is no Jew around. So in other words, if there's no Jew anywhere around, then we know that the goy is not going to sell it to the Jew. Whereas if, you know, there were Jews around, in that case he would not have permitted it.
Why? Okay.
Because of the fear that he would sell this the wheat, you know, which had been contaminated with Yain Nesach, to a Jew. A Jew would be prohibited from having it. Of course, it's Yain Nesach involved in it. Okay?
We didn't know the history of it, though.
Right. Right. Now they go back to the Mishnah. says Tanan, we have learned in the Mishnah, Yain Nesach should offal gal Novim, right? That Yain Nesach which fell upon grapes, Yadichon, let him rinse them, right? The Hain Mutoros, and they are permitted. But if they were split, then in that particular case they are prohibited, right? Mevuko eis in, right? If they are split, then yes, you know, not allowed to be used. But she'ein mevuko eis, no. But those that are not split, the law wouldn't apply. All you have to do is just wash them, okay? So Amar Rav Popas, Rav Popas said, Shani chite hoil v'agav tzirayhu kimevuko yisabye. So, what is the difference between the grapes and between wheat? This is what he's trying to explain. Why, with grapes, he said it's enough to just rinse them and you could use them, right? Whereas with the wheat, he said you have to sell it to the goy, right? Well, the point is, does it absorb? This is a question, whether it absorbs. Right, right, exactly, right. So he says that, okay, he says that the wheat is different from the wine because there are cracks within the wheat which you don't have in grapes, okay? And so therefore the cracks in the wheat make it appear as if it were split. Okay, that's what he's saying. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wanna go on to another page?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get another page. Okay. Samachlov. Okay. Continue now with Daf Samach Vav 66A in English. Okay. Chamra Atiko be Inve Divrei Hakol be Desintan Chamra Charato be Inve Abaya Ma be Mashuhu Verova Ma be Desintan. Okay. So now we go back again to the business about Nosin Tam, right?
If this it's what?
Nosin Tam. It gives taste, literally. It gives taste. So he says, Chamra Atika, old wine, the inve that fell upon grapes, because remember we were talking before about the wine, naturally, what kind of wine we're talking about? Talking about Yain Nesach, okay. So he says, old wine, if it falls on the grapes, everyone is in agreement, he says, that it falls under the category of Nesin Tam, which means what? It gives a taste. Now obviously, what does it do? Does it improve or not?
Well, it depends upon whether the grapes are split or not. The skin is split. Otherwise, why can't they just rinse the grapes?
No, but that's not the question. This is now a different question.
Oh, okay.
Different question is, we're back again to Nois and Tom.
It's a matter of comparing a flavor to the
grapes. Do we say that if old wine, the reputation of old wine is that this is really truly mellow and yummy and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
So that therefore he says, old wine, if it falls on the grapes, then everybody agrees that it falls in the category of Nes and Tam, and of course I would add L'Shevach, you know, for good, or the Hanoa, as you said the previous page over there, you know, that makes it even taste better, and therefore prohibited. This is Yaynes, okay? In other words, what is he saying? He's saying it's not enough to just rinse them. This is what he's saying over here. That because they, presumably they have absorbed the, you know, the beautiful taste. Right. Whereas it's Chabar Charatov, it's new wine, the Inve, that falls upon grapes. So here there's a difference of opinion. Abaye Yomar B'Mashehu, Abaye says even the slightest amount already gives it they say Tom, and he's convinced, you know, that what? So they say Tom, probably, you know, that it yeah. According to Rashi over here, he says the new wine, I'll read it, is the top line over there, okay? He says Chamra Charat over there. He says, but they say Tam, right, this is what we said, that it gives a flavor, but the Cholhecha, the Ikmo, they say Tam, the Ein Tam of Nikar, Havishi Ura Bishisha, says, the new wine does not really give a taste. It hasn't mellowed, and so therefore it's no different in its taste from the grape itself. Okay? But still, this was Yain Nesach that fell upon it. You understand? And so he says, and in that case, remember, this is a biased opinion, okay? Because naturally everybody is not necessarily in agreement with him. So, but he says that, you know, it gives it a flavor, but because it doesn't give it really a flavor, then he says, if the amount of the grapes, let's say, is 60 times the amount of wine that fell upon it, then in that case it would be kosher, because in that case we would say it's bottle b'shish, right, that becomes null, being 1/60th of the total. This is a biased opinion. The Rav Omar, B'dais in Tam. And Rava says, no, it is the same Tom. In other words, it's going to give it a taste. And therefore, if that's the case, even new wine is going to give it a taste. And therefore, it's going to spoil, right? Now here we see that the difference of opinion is based on somewhat different ideas. Abaye, who said that just even the slightest amount, says it's basal tamasin, because we are concerned about what kind of a taste does it give, what kind of a flavor. Is it spoiled? You know, is it good or is it spoiled? Okay. But idi chatavahu, he says, in the case of the new wine, right? It has the same taste as the grapes. And therefore what? Therefore it should be prohibited, according to him. Why? Because now he brings in a new idea. Because if the grapes and the wine are exactly the same substance, because that's what he says, so it's true, it's the same as if it were, then in that case we now have a new principle of kashrus which is involved, namely min b'mina, right? The same type of substance mixes with another, with the same type of substance. One of them obviously is what? Is no good, it's not kosher, right? And the other one is kosher. Now, what do you do in that case? In that case, we say that min b'minoy is usher. say that, min b'minei b'masho, even the slightest amount is already prohibited. Okay. It's easier to see, not in the case of the grape and the wine, really, but, for example, let's say you have two liquids, whatever they may be, right? Let's say one of them is a kosher liquid and the other one is a trefa liquid, or whatever it may be. Okay. Now, when they are mixed, they are mixed. You understand? So, can we separate one from the other? We can't. Therefore, what do we say? Min b'minei is awesome. Okay, it's prohibited. Okay? You understand the principle over there, right? So far we've had two principles. One is deisin tam. Does it spoil or does it improve the flavor? If it improves the flavor, no good. If it spoils the flavor, it's all right. And another principle is min b'minei, that if they are the same, you know, similar substances, and one of them is no good, one of them is no good, then in that case, the mixture itself is no good either. So we have, as I said, the kashrus is more complicated here than what we think. Okay. Okay. The Rabba Amar, the Nesin Tam, right? Now, Rabba, who disagrees with Abaye, why does he disagree? He also agrees with Nesin Tam. But he goes on a different principle. What is that? He says, Rabba Nesin Tam, he says, Bosa Shemor Azlinan, right? We go after what the people call it, the name that they give to it. Okay. V'hai shmo lechud, v'hai shmo lechud. But one is called grapes, and the other is called wine. So if that's the case, there's where we can apply the principle of Nesin Tam, he says. Whereas, if they're the same substance, then what? Then it's min b'minei. In that case, it's prohibited. Okay. So, we see there's a difference of opinion. Yes.
Does it have to be the same substance? No, it could be liquids of two different varieties, or does it have to
be... Well, min b'minei means that it's the same type of a substance, except that one of them is prohibited, and it mixes with the permitted, and you can't tell them apart.
Can't separate.
Let's say,
right.
Let's say we have quartz,
right.
Which we know is kosher as a beer wine, actually.
Yeah.
And you pour it with quartz, whatever, and that makes me think it's us. But does it have to be of a like genre, or can it be?
It has to be a like genre for me, but you know, right, exactly. You know, the problem, I mean, let's say if kosher meat got mixed up with trefa meat. So, you have a problem, obviously. What are you going to do with it? So if you can't tell them apart.
Are there any quantities above 160 at the level, or if it's below 160?
Yeah, someone's 100, 200, and so on. They have different measures, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, right.
So it's very strict, though.
Right.
It can't be like 25%.
No, no.
It has
to be the least would have to be rov. In other words, you would have to have at least most of the substance. That's the least, okay. Yeah. It ain't easy. Okay, tonight is the 15th of August of the year 2007. And we're continuing right now in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Vav, Amud Aleph, 66A. And we see, I just want to sum up again. We've had now three different things in connection with kashrus, right? One of them is the problem of Nesin Tam, In other words, if the prohibited substance improves the taste, then in that case it's prohibited. But if it spoils the taste, then in that particular case it's permissible. So that's one idea. Right. If it spoils the taste, it's permitted.
You won't drink it anyway.
That's already a different story. Maybe a person isn't so finicky. I don't know.
If there's no benefit,
yeah, that's nice. Exactly what it says, right? Yeah. That, you know, if whatever it is for your benefit, then that is no good. But if it's not for your benefit, that's another way of phrasing the same thing, okay? Exactly. Okay, the second one that we learned is the business of Min Bimino, where we saw that if he can't tell the difference between the prohibited and the other one because they're mixed together, then in that particular case, it's usur. Afilu bimashahu, which means even the slightest amount of prohibited substance already nullifies, I don't mean nullifies, but immediately makes treif the entire substance, okay? And now we have a third one that is brought in incidentally, and that is the question, what do people call the product?
What do people call
the product?
Is it wine or grapes?
Is it wine or is it grapes? Right, exactly. Because Abaye seemed to be saying, you know, that in the case of old wine, this is at the top of the page that we had last week. In the case of old wine, obviously, and talk of course wine, which is Aveda Zora wine. Okay, yes. Falls on grapes. Our fear is what? That it's going to improve the flavor of the grapes. Because old wine is considered, you know, the real stuff.
But
it's good.
Talking about grape juice.
Grapes.
The fruit
talking about grape, the fruit itself. Although previously we'd said that if it falls upon it, all you have to do is just to rinse it off, right? But Abaye is not happy with that. He says that if it's old wine, then in that particular case, he said that it improves the taste, and in that case, it's nice and tam. If, on the other hand, he says it's new wine doesn't taste that good, so you can't really tell the difference between the taste of the new wine and the taste of the grapes, because it hasn't matured enough.
So
therefore, in that case, he says, there you can apply the principle of Nesin Tam and see yes or no, whether it improves or not. This is a bias stand for
so
the moment.
It's really
right.
Up to the individual then?
Right. Okay. So, therefore, again, to sum up, he says over there, all right, if it's boss or shabbat, right, that we go following the, you know, what do we call it? The high shabbat, right? And grapes and wine have different names. The havalei min b'sheinam mino, right? And therefore, it's like the two different species, one and not the other. Or min b'sheinam mino b'nei sintam. Right, that is subject to the law of Dosein Tam. You have to see whether it improves or not. So now they continue a similar discussion. Tanam. See where we are over there? Tanam. 3, 6, about the 8th line. Okay, towards the end.
So the question is, if it's... If it's not improved, it's okay. So who tells you if it's improved, or if it's
that's subjective. There's no question about that.
I mean, so you try it, you could be trying the wrong thing.
Right, but maybe you give it to somebody else to try it, get their reaction. Right. Yeah,
all right.
Give it to somebody else. Right. Tanan, we have learned. Yain Neser Shadofal Gavi Adovim, right? This is what we had before, the Mishnah, right? That if Yain Neser fell upon grapes, right? So they say, Kosal Kadate Chamra Chadato, you think that we're talking about new wine? the Inve on the grapes, he says, my love, B'nei Tam. So why can't we apply this principle of B'nei Tam? Right? So he says, no, it's B'mashahu. No, we're talking about what? B'mashahu, which of course was really what we said before, was connection with Min B'min, right? So they say, Homi the Katoni Sefer, Zahaklal. Inasmuch as later on in the Mishnah it says over there that this is the general principle, right? Kol Shebaha Nosei B'nei Sein Tam Wasur, Kol Sheim Ha Nosei B'nei Sein Tam Mutar. As we said a few moments ago, that whenever, right, if you get enjoyment out of it, in the case, you know, the taste is improved, then in that case, also it's prohibited. And kol sheinu hanosei, but on the other hand, if the taste, you know, the taste is no good, you hate it, and so on, then manesim tam, when you taste it, so mutar, then that's okay, right? So miklal, so from this we see, the manesim tam askinim, right? We're talking about the principle of manesim tam. Va'abaye, masnisim b'chamer atiko, be'inve, right? Nabai is talking about new wine, I mean old wine, excuse me, you know, falling upon grapes. Now, it says, how about chala de chamra, the chala de shikra, the chamira de chite, the chamira de sare? We have other cases. These are the cases now that they bring in. First of all, vinegar. Okay? Chalo de chabra means vinegar made out of wine. Wine vinegar, okay. We're familiar with that even today. The chalo de shikra, and there's also vinegar which is made from beer.
They had beer in
those days? Yeah, they had. Question is, I mean, what do we mean by shechor, right? Shechor is something which is not wine, but it's any other beverage, you know, that people like to drink. So that's why they usually translate shikra in the Gemara as beer. Today in Eretz Israel, they simply call it bira, you know.
Bira.
You have to know the difference between bira and Shushan HaBira, right? All right. So now they're going to discuss this business, right, with vinegar, and then discuss another item. Chamira de chite ve chamira de sore. Chamira is, you know, you take dough, it begins to ferment, you know. This is what we say, you know, kol chamira vachmira, right, and so on and so forth, you know, that we say, making bedikas chametz, okay? In other words, so what else chametz we find in so this, all right. So this is chametz, which comes, you know, from wheat, and chametz, which comes from barley. Okay. Now, of course, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about what if, let's say, the you know, one gets mixed with the other, right? One kind of vinegar with the other kind of vinegar,
yeah.
Or one type of chametz,
right,
made out of wheat, as compared to chametz which made, you know, is made out of barley. So Abai Omar B'nai Sein Tam. He says, well, this is a subject of B'nai Sein Tam. Obviously, if one vinegar falls into the other one, has to be tasted, and then Bosa Tama Aslinon, right? And we go following what the taste is.
If it tastes good, you reject it.
Yeah, tastes good, no good. And if it tastes then it's mutar, it's permissible, right? But Abaye says, the high tabaluchud, don't they have two different tastes? In other words, the cider of one doesn't taste exactly like the other kind of cider. The havalei min mishaino mino, right? And if that's the case, well, it's explaining, right? It says one doesn't taste like the other, he's saying, right? And therefore, this falls into the category of one kind which is not similar to another kind, right? Min b'she'eino mino. And then we have that situation, min b'she'eino mino, it's been nice and tam, and that is subject to the taste test, right? Whether it adds or subtracts flavor, as far as that's concerned. Okay? All right. So far, this is what seems to be argued about. But obviously, if a buyer says one thing, you can be sure the rabbi is going to say something else. And they fight throughout the Gemara. Okay.
When they
say
forbidden, is that
non-kosher? Yeah, it's non-kosher. There's nothing you can do with it. Throw it away. So.
You can.
If it were Aved Zara, I mean, you know, it's Yad Nesuch, definitely. If it's not Yad Nesuch, but something else, you just throw it away. That's all right. Maybe you could sell some of it or something. I mean, if you would find a customer for spoiled stuff. Okay. Well, anyway. But Rava Amar b'mashahu, right? And Rava says, yeah, talking about min mimino is b'mashahu. In other words, if the substance is exactly identical, then even the slightest amount means that it's no longer permissible. But Boso Shema Azdimli says, we follow what the people call it. Not what the taste is, but what the people call it.
Right.
The high chala mikre, the high chala mikre, right? This one they use the word vinegar for, and this one they also use the word vinegar for.
Right.
Or the high chabira mikre, the high chabira mikre. Or in the case of the wheat and the barley, right, we say this is called chavetz, and the other one is called chavetz. Okay? V'havelei min b'minei, and in that case, since the word cider applies to both types of cider, and the word chavetz applies to both types of chavetz, then in that case, the moment that even one forbidden substance mixes with the other one, then it's no good.
So the taste test,
do you think
you're
not good? Right. I mean, first of all, I mean, look. Can you tell the difference between, let's say, wine vinegar and cider vinegar?
Cider vinegar, you
can't. You can't, really, right?
No.
And the same thing would be true if you have dough. Could you tell the difference between wheat dough and barley dough? Not necessarily. I mean, you'd have to be a baker, you know, with experience to know the difference between them. According to Rava, it's prohibited. Because since they apply the same term, the same name, to both of these substances,
Abaye
says it's nice and top. Says since one is called oats and the other one is barley, or one is called one is called wine vinegar and the other one is called beer vinegar, whatever you want to call it. Call it cider vinegar. I don't care. It'd be easier for us to mention it that way. Yeah, so he says in that case it's a nice in time because it's not min b'minei. They're not the same, he says. And therefore, it's not the same. See whether the prohibited one spoils the taste or not. That's all. This is what they say. Right. Rava is more interested in what do we call it. If it bears the name cider, no matter what it's made from, then it's min b'minei. This is what he's saying. Right. Right. Okay.
Thank you.
So Omar Abaye, Abaye says, minah mina lo de bosa tamas. How do I derive the fact that you follow the taste? Remember he said, you know, that you go according to the taste. The Tanya says, we have another teaching that'll prove my point, he says.
Abaye
is saying that. Says, Tavlin Beis Begimel Shemos Vehein Min Echad O Min Gimel. Right? Okay, it says, the quotation that I'm, you know, bringing in says that spices, if you have two or three different spices, okay, and each one has a different name. Remember, Rava stressed the name. Abaya says, it's not the name. The spices, okay? That's what he's saying. The Hein Min Echad. They really form one type, right? Namely, spices. Or Min Gimel. Or do you consider them three different types of spices? So he says, Asurin or Mistarfin, which means that if you have something which is prohibited among them, then in that particular case, you could add it to the others and it counts as one mixture. This is what he's saying. The Yomar Chizkiya said, Hocha b'binei mesika askinad, says, we're talking about spices that are used in order to give literally a sweet taste to the food. Okay? Ha'il ru'il matek b'ahed is hakadera, inasmuch as you can use all of them in order to make whatever you're cooking tastier. So he says, I amit bishlamo. If you say, basa tabo aslilu, that we follow the principle, that we follow the taste, then he says, everything in the pot, all the spices they add into one taste, right? Which would mean what? That would be prohibited, right? Would be prohibited if we say that they're all the same. Right. But if you say, right, that we go according to what people call it, the name, then he says, then each spice has its own different name. They're not the same. The Rava. So anyway, this is what Abaye is trying to say. This proves my point. The Rava, how does he interpret that statement? He says, he says to you, wait a minute. You're quoting to me something, right? He says, Hamani, who is the author of that quotation that you cited? Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Tanya, as we have learned, that Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Minayin Lechol Yisun Shabbatera Shabbatar from Zimzer, how do we know that whatever you have, any prohibited substance, that the minute that it mixes with anything else, then they are all prohibited, that they can all mix together in order to be prohibited. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Lo seichal kol tuivah, you should not eat anything which is an abomination. And kol shetiyafti l'cho harehu bevaltoichal. And therefore, anything that the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I don't like it, I find it disgusting, right, for you to do it, then you cannot, it's subject to the prohibition not to eat it. Chala l'gur chabra. Alright, first of all, we're talking about vinegar mixing together with other vinegar, right? Now he says, let's suppose something else. Chala l'gur chabra. What happens if you have vinegar into wine? Okay? Before we had vinegar and vinegar, right? So now here's vinegar and wine. So it says, Divrei HaKol, everyone is in agreement about this. Abaye, Rabbi, you name it. Everybody agrees that what? That's B'nai Sintam. That in this particular case, it's subject to No Sintam. And as we say, then in that case, when you taste it, you see whether it's bad or good.
Well,
right?
If you put vinegar in wine, it's going to taste terrible.
I'm sure it will.
Right?
I'm sure it will, right.
Right.
How about if you put wine into the vinegar? So, Abaye Yomar, b'mashu v'rava ma'amenei seitam. So here, Abaye and Rava disagree. Abaye says, no good. And Rava says, taste it and see.
Now,
yeah.
So Rava is adopting Abaye's position, right?
Yeah.
Rava is now adopting the
qualification. Correct. There's no question that ultimately they really are in agreement, no matter which system. But ultimately they do agree. To the principle this time. But they like to argue these points.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Okay, we're almost ready for the next page. So let's take a moment and give it out. So you can, yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, some people feel that you shouldn't drink blended whiskey because if there's a blend of wine that's been added to it, that's a question. If there's no wine that's involved in it, then it wouldn't really be a question. But I would. Because, he says, and this is the next page, Samachvav on the base, he says, Reche Chalo, Vitamo Chamro. He says, because here we come into something else. He says, what does it smell like? It's fragrance. He says, it smells like vinegar. Remember we said wine into vinegar, right? So, and the taste, he says, is still a wine taste. Right? So he says, if you mix then the wine with the vinegar, then in that case it's challah. It's considered as vinegar and not as wine. Okay? V'havalei min b'minei, and in that particular case, since the wine now is like vinegar, so it's min b'minei, right? V'chol min b'minei b'mashuhu, then even a slight amount of wine added to the vinegar immediately makes it also. Of course, again, what kind of wine are we talking about? We're talking about yainessa. That's what we're talking about. Okay. Wine vinegar could also be a nesach, obviously. I mean, this is why everything has to be made, under supervision. When it comes, whether it's wine, whether it's grape juice, or whether it's vinegar, because all these things require that, the subject of the rule, that we do not use stam yedam, we don't use wine unless it's kosher wine, okay? And stam yedam, as we learned a long time ago, means wine like gala wine or chaves, some Italian vinegar or something like that. Let's say, what do you call it again? The one that comes from Modena, balsamic vinegar, for example.
Yeah.
Right. You have to, if you want balsamic vinegar, you have to buy a kosher brand of balsamic vinegar. You can't just go to the market. Right. Yeah, they do. They do. Right.
You can't get
Rav Omar Benosin Tom says, now, this is a case of Nesin Tom. Adding wine to vinegar, right? Says, Reche Chalo V'tam Chamer. It says, the fragrance is that of vinegar, and the taste is the taste of wine. And in my opinion, then that is Chamra, it's wine. Abayu said, I consider it vinegar, right? And Rava says, I consider it wine. V'havelei min b'sheidu mino. And inasmuch as we have wine and vinegar, right? And the two different types. And he says, V'chol min b'sheidu mino. You know, whenever you have two different types, then in that case, b'doi sinktan. Then it is subject to the taste test. So, now we come to another maisa.
When you say a bracha, are they different between wine and vinegar?
Are you going to drink vinegar? Are you going to drink vinegar?
Yes, cider vinegar.
Oh, you do? But in that case, if it's cider vinegar, it's a shahakal. Okay, shahakal. The average person, needless to say, uses vinegar, you know, in order to
flavor it,
right. And in that case, that's subject to a different rule. There, the rule is as follows, that when you have ikar v'tofel, in other words, something which is the important thing, and something which is added to, for whatever reason, you know, it's subsidiary to it, so to speak, right? Then in that case, you make the bracha over the ikar, and you potter from making the bracha over the tofel. So in other words, if you add salad and you add vinegar to it, then naturally, what would the bracha be? The answer is the one for the salad itself. For prihadova, okay? And for the vinegar, you don't have to do it because it's only there in order to add a little taste. Eat cereal with milk in the morning. Do you have to make a special bracha for the milk that you put into the cereal?
Do.
No.
No, just the milk.
Because the milk is only to make the cereal more palatable or something like that. But essentially, you're interested, first of all, in the cereal and secondarily in the milk that comes along. You understand? So that therefore, what bracha would we make? Well, that depends on the cereal that we're eating. Some cereal, if it's made out of wheat or barley or oats, these belong in the category of what we call, you know, the five species of grains, right? And therefore, they are subject to the bracha of borei min mizonos.
You avoid all that.
Right.
Avoid all that by making a motzi and washing
your hands. Okay, right.
Exactly.
If you do that, never mind.
Right,
whatever
right.
You serve in the meal is covered by it.
You're right. Milk in there.
Right. Absolutely right.
That's the easiest way out.
Of course. Right.
Right.
Right. Right, no question about it.
So it may have.
You know, our mouth and our nose have a very strong connection to each other. Okay, now we have a case, something else. Rashi explains, what is bas tiho? Because I don't have to tell you that it's not something that is an expression that you come across every day. Okay? So Rashi explains, he says, Nekev doikvim bibeguvas chofis lorev sayayin, the vodka. Says, they make a hole inside the cork, the stopper, right? That's, you know, that closes up the barrel. In order to smell the wine in it, in order to find out the vodka, im yochel hiskayim, whether this wine can stay, or is it fermenting too much, or something like that, spoiling, right? So, here is the situation. They put a hole inside, right? And then, oivet kechavim b'Yisrael. So, yeah, Shapir Domin. I have to think for a moment, what is this abbreviation? Well, I see Shin Dalet over there. It doesn't mean a an evil an evil spirit, a shade. But it means Shapir Domin. What is Shapir Domin? Shapir means that, okay, that's fine. In other words, even if it's a goy who, let's say, smells through this hole in the cork, and the wine is, of course, Jewish wine, right? That's all right. In other words, it has not turned it into what? Into Yaidesach. Okay. Yisrael, b'doivet kechavim. Now, how about reverse the situation? This time, the wine is what? Saved is our wine, right? It's Yaidesach. And the Jew puts his nose to the cork in order to smell what's inside, right? So, Abaye Omar Osor. Abaye says that's prohibited. There's not a lot to do with
it.
For the Jew to smell the Aveda Zora inside over there. Okay. And Rava Omar Mutar. But Rava says that's all right. It's permissible. Abaye Omar Osor. Abaye says it's prohibited. Recha milsahi, because smells are also important things. Rava Amar Muta. Rava says it's permitted. Why? Recha lav milsahi, says smelled, but that doesn't have any great importance.
You might be tempted by smelling it.
Right.
How would you be able to tell by smelling the wine that
it's not? No. We know that the wine is Yainessa.
Oh, I get it.
It belongs to the goy. We know that.
It belongs to the goy.
But the Jews, do I know why? Either out of curiosity, or maybe he's a wine speller by profession or something. I don't know.
What if his employee works
the
wine?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's a wine speller. Or maybe that's his job. Who knows?
Right. Tell him to throw out anything that's
wrong. Right. Right. I don't know if you ever watch these reruns of Frasier. You see he and his brother Neil with the wine, the smell, the fragrance, and so on.
Yeah,
so
the
they belong to a special wine tasters group, and so on.
They smell the bouquet.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant, you ask for wine.
Right. Right.
All right.
Okay.
Right
there. Yeah. So, Omar Rava, Omar said, how do I get the fact that, as far as, you know, the smell, the fragrance, it doesn't amount to anything? This is based on a different Mishnah that we learned. What is the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Tanur Sheisiko happens to be in Trumos, because the subject over there is Truma. Truma, if you remember, is what? An Israelite or a Levi has to give to the Kohen. Of course, it depends what it because the Kohen gets Truma. Okay, that's one of the Matnas Kohuna. Okay, one
right.
of the gifts that the go. So, alright, so here is the situation. There is an oven and they fired it up but Sheisiko Bekamon Shel Truma. Yes, this Kamon, in English we call it Kamen, right?
Yeah.
It's a spice, as we know.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Yes,
right. And this happened, but, Truma can be given, not just from food, but from different things too, even seeds, plants, and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, right. So, it was Kamen that really was Truma. Now, we know what is the rule. Only a Kohen can eat Truma. Only he, okay? If a Yisrael or a Levi eats Truma, then theoretically they're subject to the death penalty. Of course, I don't mean, B'dei Odom. I mean, it's what we call Misa B'dei Shemayim, in other words.
Right.
Okay? So, also the subject of a fine, you have to give an addition, 20% more, etc., etc.
Right,
okay. So, So, they use it in order, to make the fire. The other boy is hapas. And then they baked a loaf of bread in it. So, hapas muteris. The fish ain't tam common, el arecha common. So, according to this particular Mishnah that they quote, it says the loaf of bread is permitted, naftali, permitted to whom?
The
non-Jew. Yeah, no, not to even to
not
a Jew.
Not
right,
going.
Yeah. Because it says that, where am I? Right, hospital is Lefisha, right, Shein Tam Kamon, right, because he says the Kamon in that situation has no taste of its own. El Arecha Kamon, but only
gives a smell.
Right, only a smell.
Right.
In other words, according to Rubber, we said this proves the fact, what did I say about fragrance? It's local, so they said that it doesn't bear, doesn't have any importance, okay? Abaye, about Abaye, Shani Chosin says, wait a minute, no, that's a different situation, he says. The Mikla is Surei, he says, you're burning something really which should not be burnt. Why? Because Truma is holy. And therefore you have no right taking Truma and burning it. You understand? Not allowed, right.
I assume that what they're saying is that the cumin was used to start the fire.
You're right. Right.
That was not really...
Yeah, like firewood.
It's like using, mesquite to broil some meat or something like that.
Yeah, whatever, right.
Yeah,
in this case, it was in order to make bread. Okay, that's what they're talking about. Pardon me? The Kohen could, for his own purpose, do it.
Kohen could, yes.
But we said that the loaf is permitted. The loaf is permitted to the Jew, to the ordinary Jew, you understand?
Yes, I understand that. You're saying that maybe we need to
redistribute. Yeah. But the ordinary Jew, in other words, is allowed because if the fragrance of it has no importance, whatever, then it's all right. But a buyer is subjected because he says Truma should not be handled in this fashion. Truma is holy, and you should not be using it as firewood.
Okay, that's my question.
Right. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with it.
But that's what happened here, is it not?
Yes. The Kohen can do whatever he wants. Once it's in his hands.
Right.
But they didn't say that Kohen used it.
Right.
Okay, you're saying by implication that they...
According to Abaye, right.
They say was it there
right.
was an oven and a the pink
yeah.
piece of bread.
It says it should never have been used. Right.
What does your art scroll say? What is the
it doesn't say anything about
Rabbi Art Scroll.
It doesn't say anything. I mean,
no comments from Rabbi Art Scroll.
Commentary.
Okay.
I mean, it's open question.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Okay. Omar Rav Mari, so Rav Mari said in connection with that, sometimes my eye wanders, right? Katanoi says that this argument goes back to previous people who also argued the same thing. What is the argument over there? So again, that's mentioned in Truma, right? And then it's quoted also in Sochet. So it says, Hareda Pas Chama. Okay? Somebody scrapes a loaf, a warm loaf, out of the oven. Alright? He takes it out. Okay? On his son, Alpi Chodesh Shel Yain, Shel Truma. And then, you know what he did? He takes this loaf of bread and he puts it on a barrel of wine, and this wine is truma. Okay? Remember we said that truma can be given for all kinds. Particularly wine is one of the most major things that you give for truma. So Rabbi Meir Oyser, Rabbi Meir says it's prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permitted. Rabbi Yosef Matir Bishal Chitin, and Rabbi Yossi says it's permitted if it is wheat bread, the osa b'shosor, but it is prohibited if it's barley bread, mipnei shahase orim shoavos, because the barley draws, in other words, it's drawing the wine. Okay.
Wait.
Yes.
This is putting the loaf bread on the barrel.
On a barrel of wine.
In the wine.
Right.
Okay, that's why. That's
right.
Not in the wine.
Right.
He's saying that the barley bread draws what from the barrel.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
Okay.
So the grain.
So now I have to tell you, what are they getting all excited about? The answer is they're getting excited about what's in the wine barrel. What kind of wine is this?
Truma.
No.
Truma,
right. But.
That's the whole argument. The carb that's drawn into this argument is Truma.
Right.
If it was Truma, it wouldn't be any argument.
Right.
I understand, I accept that, but what are they worried about? What can a wolf take from wine?
They're going to actually try to say this is in line with what? Remember, what started the argument? Smelling through the bastille, right?
The wheat wouldn't absorb the flavor of the wine, but the barley would.
Right.
So it's
the
aroma.
In other words, the aroma itself of the wine is not an addition. Right. Exactly. We have to dig and dig and dig to come.
Wow. The aroma is part of the wine, and therefore it's truma. And truma non-alcoholic can't have.
Right. So he says, my love, the whole kamiflige, certainly seems to me, he says, that the argument is about this principle. The mar sovar recho nilsehi, amar sovar. Right, that the authority, namely Rabbi Meir, who was oyser, right, he says it's prohibited, says that smell is important, right? And Masova, the other authority, namely Rabbi Yehuda, right? So he says v'leiklum, it doesn't matter. So getting back to Rava and Abaye and so on, so the Rava. Right, so Rava undoubtedly bases his opinion when he says that the smell doesn't mean anything, right, upon this machlekes of the Tanoim, right. La Abaye Milema Tanoihi, but how about Abaye? We say that his argument is also based upon the Tanoim. So Amal Kha Abaye, so Abaye said, Love me Itmar Allah. Haven't we learned about it? Omar Rabba Bachoda, Omar Reish Lakish, that Rabba Bachoda said the name of Reish Lakish, the Fas Chamo, the Chobis Pesucho, that if it is a warm loaf of bread and barrel is open, now we go to the next page, but I'll quote it by heart, we'll review it again next week. Divrei Hakol Asura. Everybody agrees that it's prohibited because what's happening, the warm bread is absorbing, obviously, the smell of the wine in the open barrel, right? And the fastenanes, but if it is a loaf of bread which is cold, the chovis megufo, and the barrel is stoppered up, then divrei hakol muteris, according to everybody, it is forbidden. Okay, we shall continue from here, which is at the top of Daf Samach Zayin, next week, Be'ezras Hashem. So tonight is the 22nd of August in the year 2007, and we're continuing on Daf Samach Zayin, on an Aleph, in other words, 67a, in Avodah Zarah. Now, the last topic that was discussed last week, remember, it involves a problem whether a smell of a substance, or fragrance, if you wish to use the nicer word, okay? Does a fragrance, is there something in it, you know, in other words, does it have a certain intrinsic value, shall we say, or is it nothing? And we saw that there's a difference of opinion about that. The difference of opinion between Abaye and Rava. Abaye holding that there is something in it, and therefore, if you're dealing with a cask of Avodah Zarah, right? Wine, which is Yayin Nesach, right? Then it's going to impart a smell which a Jew is prohibited from smelling. Okay? The case before it...
We're not talking incense.
But the case before it, if you may remember from last week, was the fact that here you have a barrel of Avodah Zarah wine, right? Now, you have a barrel of wine. Let's put it that way. You have a barrel of wine. There's a stopper in it, a cork, right? And there is a small hole that's bored through the cork, okay? And a person comes and he smells it. And naturally he smells, you know, the smell of the wine that's coming into his nostrils, okay? So, the question is, if it is a goy who is smelling Jewish wine that's in the barrel, then we're not worried about it. Okay? It's perfectly okay. But if it's a barrel of Yayin Nesach, right, and a Jew smells it, then is he thereby transgressing something or not? This is the question. So according to Abaye, who says that smell also has to be a determining factor, then in that case, he's guilty, right? Whereas, if you hold Rava's opinion, he says, the smell doesn't mean anything. There's no substance to it, okay? So that, therefore, the Jew, would not be doing anything wrong by just smelling. Right, yeah.
All right. The question that I have is, they're guilty of doing something wrong. We didn't have the intention of walking in and inhaling. He happened to be coming by and smelled it.
Yeah, we understand that.
Something to be guilty
right.
of?
He had to put his nose very close.
Right, right.
He had to put his nose close.
We said there was a small hole in the cork.
And he went to smell it?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, so that's deliberate.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to
correct.
Understand.
So then they brought in another problem, the problem of bread of truma, which was baked in an oven, and maybe there was something in the oven that was not right over there or something like that. So now, again, they have this wine and bread. The question is, does the bread absorb the odor or does it not absorb the odor? This is what we're talking about right now. So what did we learn? So we learned that Reish Lakish said that if it's warm bread and the barrel is open, the barrel contains Aved Zara wine, right? Then in that particular case, we say that the warm bread will absorb the smell of the Aved Zara. This, of course, would be like what Abaye is saying, right? Except that here there's a difference. The difference is that we're specifying the fact that the bread is hot and the wine barrel is open. So it's prohibited. Top line again of where we are right now. Befas soderes, what if it's a cold piece of bread? Vechavis begufa, and the barrel is stoppered up, right? Then the very cold materials, everybody's in agreement. It's perfectly okay. So no, lo nechliku. So where was the difference of opinion? Elo befas chamo vechavis begufa. If the bread is hot and the barrel of wine is stopping up, or the fast sodenis, if the bread is cold, the chovis pesucha, and the barrel is open. So he says, "Vahor didi dame kipas chama v'chovis pesucha dame." So he says, in my opinion, what I said before is just like in this particular case where you have bread which is warm and the barrel is open. But if the barrel would be stoppered up, would it be a problem? No. So if that's the case, then what about, again, the smell? You understand? Smelling the wine through the hole in the cork. So, of course, Abaye still insists that he's right. But Rava says, how could you say that, after all? It's stoppered up. So what? So what is he doing? So this is a question, right? Yeah.
Bread, the smell in the air. It's okay?
It's in the air, right.
Yeah, but if the smell gets into the bread...
Right.
It's more, it's much easier for getting the bread if it's
right.
If it's
right.
Cold, it's not going to penetrate.
That is correct.
So the minute
right.
It penetrates
right.
The bread, the
right.
Smell.
Right. Now, we're going to have all kinds of problems connected with various laws and kashas. We've already seen, for example, the question of min b'mino, min shelo b'mino. In other words, if the two substances are alike, then in that particular case, if they get mixed up, then what? And we say that it's, the whole thing is no good, right? Whereas if they're two different species or something, they get mixed up, then we go on the basis of the other things. Is it a rove? Is it a majority? Or is it something that is more of a shishim? And so on, you know, depending upon what the individual problem is. But the point is that we can find grounds in order to permit the mixture. Yes?
Now, what about taking place in Shea Joseph?
Right.
They've got a kosher kitchen, a trade kitchen.
Right.
They've got various rooms.
Right.
Now, if they're cooking something, obviously tray.
Right.
And the smell permeates or comes out and gets in, you know, gets into some of the smell gets permeates some of the food.
Okay. First of all,
does that create a problem?
Well, it would if that were with the situation. The when they cater kosher, they dedicate one room specifically for kosher cooking.
Right.
It's not together with the where they're also preparing trefa food for the other customers. You understand?
You mean that room never has trefa meals?
No, I don't say that.
Oh, okay.
They could also do that, but prior to using it as for the preparation of kosher food, then actually they have to kosher everything that's over there. Whether it's the tables, the dishwasher, certain utensils that they have to use and so on and so forth. I mean, all those things have to be kosher in advance before. And then the room is kept closed during the time that, you know, in other words, it's separated from the other area altogether, okay? But let's say, theoretically, that they had to use, they had to kosher, let's say, an oven in the general area where the others are doing, okay? So you're asking whether the smell that's coming from the treif of food is going to affect the this food, right? This is what you want to know specifically. So here we have to again apply the principle. Who are we following? Are we following a bias principle that we should be concerned about the smell being absorbed? Or should we follow Rava's principle, who says we don't have to be concerned about the smell being absorbed? And inasmuch as we have good grounds, you know, for saying that we don't really have to worry about that, so we would follow Rava's opinion in this particular case.
The possibility of the smell being absorbed is not so far-fetched. After all, the smell is not an independent object. It's something that's carried with air.
That's true.
It has to be carried.
Yeah.
Now, in other words, what is a smell? The smell is something that is flavor that attaches itself to air, and that's what we're smelling. So there is. That's why it can be absorbed, because it would be.
If you have a pie cooling on your windowsill.
Yeah.
And your next door is
having a barbecue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the smell from what your neighbor is cooking in her kitchen comes over and gets into your pie.
Not
likely.
It's not likely.
And maybe it doesn't have quit.
Pardon me?
Maybe it doesn't have quit. It
doesn't have quit. Yeah. Well, as I say, in this particular case, we would have to be more lenient, because otherwise, I mean, if we were going to be follow the opinion of Abaye in this particular case, who knows how much food we'd have to throw out on the nations. It's always a question also, you see, is this midoraisa that is prohibited? Is it prohibited because the Torah says specifically that this is prohibited? Or is it been the rabbanan? Is it something that the rabbis were afraid, you know, that there would be a problem, and so therefore they decided, you know, not to do it? And we deal, you know, and we have to deal differently whether it's been the raisa, whether it's from the Torah, or whether it's been the rabbanan,
well,
the rabbis.
Is this question that's really from the rabbanan,
though? Yes, of course. Right, in this case it is, no question. Right. So, but you can see the problems that you have in trying to make a decision in these areas, okay? And then, of course, I want to remind you again that we learned another principle in the last few weeks, and that is no Saint Tom. Two different substances get together, right? The question is whether the substance which does not belong over there, it shouldn't be there, right, does it give a flavor to the one that's already in the pot, so to speak, right? And if so, is it lifgam? Does it spoil the taste? Or is it the shevach? Does it improve the taste? And what do we learn? If it improves the taste, no good. If it spoils the taste, then we could use it. Okay. So these are some of these things, I mean, that we're learning as far as law is concerned and kashrus are concerned. And, you know,
no,
this
no,
is...
It all comes
yeah.
down to a question of having hanoah. Think about it.
Hanoah, right. Hanoah. We said, if a person has hanoah from the...
Good, you're going to have hanoah, even if it's a kind of hanoah.
Absolutely.
Money
absolutely.
It.
Right. It's exactly what the Gemara said. That's hada, so right. It's for his hada, and that case no good. If he enjoys the new substance that's been created,
yeah.
It's prohibited. Okay. Right. All right. So then, yeah. Zaklal. All right. the Mishnah says this. This is exactly what we're quoting over here. This is the general principle that what? Kol shebehanosei. Wherever you have hanoah, right? Okay? The noisei tam, when, you know, a new taste is created, then of course we learn. If it's, right, if you enjoy it, no good. If it spoils the taste for you, then in that case, it's mutar, it's permissible. V'yomar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Lo shonu ela shenafal l'tzeich karis v'noisei. He says, where are they applying this principle? They're applying this principle into a case where the prohibited substance, right, fell into, let's say it was wine, okay? Let's say it was wine. Wine fell into grisin. Grisin, what we call a mamalosh and groipin, but others translated as, open beans that have been cut in half or something like that, dried beans and so on. So that, and you're cooking them, they're roasted, and these beans are boiling, you know, they're in the pot and cooking and so on, and then, let's say, tray for wine fell in. Though, no fall the so grisin seinen in, if it fell in to this kind of beans or grape or whatever you want to say that are cold, they're cold. It fell in while it was cold, right? And then he hit tichod, and after that he boiled it. So nasa kemi shehishbiach. Then the result is that actually it's improving the taste of the beans while they were being cooked. It lifts off pagam, but in the end, it's no good. The osur, and it's prohibited. Now, actually, what they're talking about in this case is not really wine. They were talking about vinegar, which was nesach. Because remember, one of the sources of vinegar is wine. I mean, you can make vinegar from other substances, as we learned, but in the days of the Talmud, particularly wine was the base of which, as it turned sour, it became vinegar. Frost and Pasha. What does vinegar mean? In French, what does the word vinegar mean? It's from a French word. Van Egel, which means sharp wine.
Oh, right.
Right. Or acidy wine, if you wish. Right. That's what it is. Okay. So, the wine in the beans, if the beans are already cooked, then the wine might spoil their taste. Okay? I don't mean the wine. I mean the vinegar might spoil their taste. But if you cook them together, so it might improve, first of all, the taste of the beans, and then afterwards, they'll taste spoiled. So the question is, if it improves at first, and then it spoils the taste afterwards, how are you going to determine whether is it good, does it improve the taste, or does it spoil the taste? You understand the problem? Okay. We also, so he says, in that particular case, we have to say it's no good. Vechein, likewise. Kiyosu Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Israel to Babylonia, in order to report to the yeshivas over there in Babylonia what he had learned in Eretz Israel, the yeshivas. So Omar, he said, Rabba Baba Choda said, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shonu Ela Shonofel Atok Risa Rosem. We applied this principle where it fell into this, the beans that were cooking. Avol nofal esok risin sodan in the tichot. But if it fell into beans that were cold and the tichot, then he heated them up, da esok emishim biach. Then it says at first he had improved the taste with the flows, but if so, forgot. But finally, it spoiled the taste, Nevertheless, we say the osar. So he reported Taka in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. They did Pascha this way, and they named the authorities who did it. The Chayin Kiyosa Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was another one. Also, we go traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonian, Babylonian back to Eretz Yisrael, and so in the north to find out what's doing over there. You know, you have to remember, they had no telephones, no telegraphs, but they still wanted to know in Eretz Yisrael what was going on in the Babylonian academies, and in Babylonia they wanted to know what was going on in the Eretz Yisrael academies. What's going on over there? What are they, you know, what are the authorities saying? So, likewise, when Rav Dimi came back to Babylonia to report what he learned in Eretz Yisrael, so he reported the same thing. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's a town called Tzipori, which is in the Galilee. One time it had a very flourishing Jewish presence. It was a yeshiva over there with famous rabbis in the time of the Talmud. Today, if you go there, it's only a curiosity because, you know, the place has become practically all Arab. But they're trying to keep a synagogue going over there, so to retain a Jewish presence, but primarily it's the Arabs who are over there right now in the Galilee.
Is this right across from Tiberias?
Not that close. It's closer actually to the other end, like to Akko and that area over there. Yeah. If you go up, in other words, the Mediterranean coast, and then you know, go inward a little bit, this is where it's located. Whereas Tiberias, yeah, Tiberias is more already to the eastern part of Galilee.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the lower Galilee. Then you have, for example, Tzfat. This is Upper Galilee. Yeah. The reason why you have Lower and Upper, because first of all, there's a valley between them, and secondly, Upper Galilee is actually much higher than Lower Galilee. So the terrain is higher, right? It's the highest. So this is where you have the highest mountains in Eretz Israel. Tzfat is a very mountainous territory. Then as you go towards the Lebanese border, that's the nature of it over there.
We traveled up there.
Yeah.
I was trying to get it
in my mind. Yeah, right. Tzfat is right near Meron. I don't know if you heard of Meron. Mm-hmm. Where Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, right, is buried over there. And of course, Lag BaOmer, that's the big event over there. Bonfires, and they bring the kids in order to for an upshelling and so on and so forth. Right? Okay. So,